Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, and talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a success coach, spokeswoman, and fundraiser with Successimo.com, a free social networking, informational, and inspirational website. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and a winologist expert. She is your host today on January Jones, sharing Successimo stories. So sit back and relax and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones and her eclectic roster of guests on Blog Talk Radio as you learn while you earn. These stories plus sharing equal Successimo.com. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you're entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard unpleasant things about lawyers? Tell me, would you like to learn more about when lawyers were heroes? Have you ever wanted to know a little more about personal injury law? Can you imagine a world without Atticus Finch? Tell me, do you know what Watergate did to our legal system? When was the last time you heard about an enormous amount of money from a jury verdict? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that you've been looking for? Now, are you ready to learn while you earn? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Successimo Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest, who is a successful attorney. He has provided us today with wonderful, informative, and inspirational messages. Before I introduce him, I'd love to invite you to call in anytime during our show. The call-in number is 818-431-8506. Call in with any questions that you have for our interview today. This is your way to get some free legal advice. Let me tell you a little bit about my guest. He is an established and well-known civil lawyer in Los Angeles, specializing in personal injury law and business litigation. He has been awarded significant trial verdicts and obtained maximum financial settlements for his clients. He's a Phi Beta Kappa graduate from UC Berkeley. He attended Loyola Law School, and he has served there as a professor. He is a contributing writer to the Daily Journal, the state's largest legal newspaper, The Advocate, magazine of the consumer attorneys, and Los Angeles Lawyer, the monthly periodical of the Los Angeles County Bar. He has also moderated and produced Law Talk and Shane's Verdicts, local cable shows in which residents were educated on the nuts and bolts of various legal subjects and issues with guest lawyers. He is the recipient of the prestigious Harvard Prize Book Award. My guest is a member of the Consumer Attorneys Association of Los Angeles, the State Bar, the Los Angeles County and Beverly Hills Bar Association, and has been with the American Association of Justice. He's a former deputy district attorney in his early career, and he also was appointed by Los Angeles County Sheriff Lee Baca to serve on the Regional Homeland Advisory Council. He's an advocate for education. He was a candidate for the Board of Trustees of the Los Angeles County Community. He has given educational lectures on justice and the law, how to survive the legal system, and on subjects ranging from personal injury, negligence, insurance concerns, employment, harassment, workers' compensation, health care, court procedures, from state court to small claims, and business litigation to many social and business groups. He can make a valuable contribution as a speaker, and I am thrilled to have on our show today as my guest, Jeffrey Shane. Hi, Jeffrey. How are you doing?
January, how are you? What a pleasure and honor to be on your show.
Well, as I told you before we went on the air, you are the first attorney that I've ever had the chance to interview and share with my listeners. I'm very excited about this. You sent me an article that I have just thoroughly enjoyed reading, an article that you wrote, and it's called To Kill a Mockingbird, When Lawyers Were Heroes. What prompted you to write this fabulous article?
Well, you know, I have two sons who are 17 years old, and when they were in middle school, mm-hmm. we read together the famous book, award-winning book, To Kill a Mockingbird. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we saw the movie again. I had seen, as a kid, the book, the movie To Kill a Mockingbird, which won Gregory Peck an Academy Award and was one of the Oscar nominees for that year. Uh-huh. And it was just very moving and brought me back to my youth when what really inspired me to go into the law back in the 60s, the civil rights movement, and when mm-hmm. lawyers were at the forefront of great social movements and great change for our country. And so the article started making me think about the transformation of the status of lawyers from the 60s to the present.
Right.
When we had, the star of the novel, the movie, is Atticus Finch, an incisive country lawyer who powerfully and courageously fights for justice by defending a black man who's wrongfully accused of raping a white woman uh-huh. in the Deep South in the 30s, when there was much prejudice and against black people in the Deep South. And he took a courageous defense of this wrongfully accused black man and tried to persuade a jury of all white men that of the innocence of this individual. And mm-hmm. then it was sort of symbolic of what was happening when lawyers were, you know, fighting for the underdog, for just causes, you know, for righteous causes in this mm-hmm. country. And I felt that the status of lawyers through the 70s, like you were talking about, through Watergate, when a number of the top government lawyers mm-hmm. went to prison for government corruption. And
wow.
then so many lawyers were behind the scandals of, for example, Keating, Enron, Countrywide, Madoff, and were basically defending corrupt financial institutions as they swindled their shareholders and the American public. And
yeah.
then recently, people have become very frustrated with lawyers who they feel are maybe overcharging or for billing, and who are sort of sharks in the field and sort of lost that ability to settle cases in the best interests of their clients. And we've lost a lot of the pro bono work that law firms have done, you know, where they didn't get paid, but they were helping mm-hmm. poor people, middle-class people. But so the status of lawyers, so that's really what moved me to
oh, yeah.
compare what's happened in the 60s to the transition of our society over the last 40 years, and to really make a call to our profession to get
mm-hmm.
back to recapture our professional character as heroic actors fighting for justice for the common men and women of our times. And that it's really just up to us as we sort of band of brothers and sisters in the law profession
mm-hmm.
to get back to the great deeds of our heritage and rehabilitate our image with the public, and to continue once again to make the Commonwealth a more just and better place to live. And then our integrity as lawyers, I feel, is a moral imperative.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's hard to believe it's been over 50 years since that wonderful movie was made. Now, you write in your article about contingency and pro bono. Does that still happen now? Can people still get help who don't have money but who have something that they feel is unjust that they have to deal with? How did they go about doing that?
Well, two, let's still deal with the I'm a personal injury attorney, and
mm-hmm.
in that field we work on contingency, which
okay.
means we get a certain percentage. Usually it's a third of whatever we can gross for the client at the end of the case. And if we don't, if we're not successful in a case, we don't get anything.
Mm-hmm.
Many times in the personal injury field, you're going against insurance companies
yeah.
who, for example, for car accidents, premises liability cases, trip and fall cases, where people have gotten injured or disabled due to the negligence
mm-hmm.
of another party. Negligence is somebody acting with a lack of due care, or not cautiously or prudently. That would
mm-hmm.
be, for example, somebody who runs a red light and totals your car and you get neck and back injuries because of that. And
mm-hmm.
those are contingency cases, by the way, in a personal injury setting. And that's really why I got into personal injury. I liked helping those who could not help themselves, who were disabled,
mm-hmm.
and I had an opportunity to get for them their medical expenses,
mm-hmm.
Past
mm-hmm.
and present, their loss of income that they had lost,
yeah.
any permanent disability that they had sustained, also known as pain and suffering. So,
mm-hmm.
That's why we have insurance on for many institutions, that these individuals would be protected. So it was my the idealism that I was brought up with in the 60s and 70s, this was an avenue, personal injury, where I could
mm-hmm.
pursue my dreams and idealism for people. And it's hard work, it's a struggle, but
yeah.
it's very been proved to be very beneficial, I think, for the people that I've represented. Now, pro bono, we have legal associations like the Legal Aid Society
mm-hmm.
of Los Angeles. They have them all across the country. We have individual nonprofit corporations. I worked for the Inner City Law Center that
uh-huh.
Helped people who were living in decrepit rental properties where they had many code violations for anywhere from roaches and they couldn't get plumbing or water. We brought suits against landlords, and the landlords can be great. This is not across the board. Landlords who weren't taking care of their properties and were detrimental to the tenants living there, both physically and mentally, and they couldn't live in decent housing. And then, for example, we have an institution here in Los Angeles called Beit Tzedek, means a place for justice. That is a nonprofit organization that helps also people who are in bad housing, who
mm-hmm.
Cannot afford a lawyer. And so we're not getting as much federal and state funds for a lot of these nonprofit institutions, but through private donations, we can still get and help a lot of people who are, again, do not have the money to hire very expensive counsel to represent their best interest.
Oh, that is fantastic. And, you know, we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsor. When we come back, I will be, again, interviewing our present-day Atticus Finch, Jeffrey Shane. When we come back, I'd like you to share some information so any of my listeners who have issues and perhaps need a lawyer that can help them with a contingency option, we'll give you that information. We'll be right back.
When you think that something is too good to be true, could you ever be wrong? The answer is yes, yes, yes when it comes to Successimo.com, because you will earn while you learn, and it will be free, free, free. Successimo.com is a social networking site that will change the way you learn and earn money while you work on your computer at home. This free website provides continuous learning opportunities while rewarding you for taking lessons and inviting others to join with you, receiving inspirational information. You'll receive points that can be redeemed for merchandise or cash. Just what does free mean to users at Successimo.com? It means that there are no fees, no donations, no pledges, you will never need cash, checks, or credit cards. All revenues are generated from advertisers at the website, just like Facebook and Twitter. This too-good-to-be-true social networking site is the newest paradigm on the Internet for home-based business and nonprofit organizations. Do you hate asking people for money? We all do. And the good news is that Successimo is a fundraiser for nonprofits that does not require money. It just requires small amounts of your time or your organization's time to raise funds. When you do lesson activities, you'll receive points that can be redeemed for merchandise or cash. When you think of Successimo.com, you need to think learn while you earn. And always remember that passion plus purpose equals prosperity. Successimo.com is not only too good to be true, it is unbelievably innovative, and there are no downsides since no money is ever required. Successimo.com is the right website for now because it is the first one ever to pay people to participate. No one else does this. So sign up now and stop whining, start winning, and start being Successimo. Successimo.com is not only beyond priceless, it's a fantastic way to pay it forward.
Welcome back. This is January Jones with my wonderful guest, Jeffrey Shane, sharing his success story. Jeffrey, could you give my listeners your website information and your phone contact if they want to call you?
Absolutely. Your listeners and can reach me at my through email at j.shane@sbcglobal.net. That's j.shane@sbcglobal.net. And the best phone number to reach me at is 310-666-6064. Again, that's 310-666-6064. And I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to communicate with your listeners. You do a tremendous public service.
Well, we're happy to share you with our listeners. And, you know, Jeff, my show is all about success, and you are very successful. However, I like to always ask my guests if they could share something with my listeners, something that happened in their career, like those unexpected events, those defining moments that at the time they're devastating, but the reality is they turn around and this difficulty is what helps you become successful. Could you share something with that has happened in your career that at the time didn't seem so great but turned out wonderful?
Exactly. I was, after graduating Loyola Law School, I went on to be a deputy district attorney in San Bernardino County, and then I had clerked for an attorney in the personal injury, the negligence field, and knew I wanted to get back to that, so I came back to my home ground of Los Angeles where my friends were, and I joined a personal injury law firm. That was a tremendous experience, tremendous learning experience, and just some advice to any up-and-coming lawyers. Real important to get in with a firm where you'll have some mentors to teach you the ropes, the civil procedure, the practice of law, so you don't have to do it on your own. Mm-hmm. And so I had a wonderful experience with this law firm, and unfortunately the owner of the firm had done quite well, and he broke up the firm and sold the firm, and so then I had to make a decision what I was going to do. So it was a bit daunting, and I then thought, I've got enough experience with the DA's office now. I'd learned the civil litigation that had opened up my own firm. That was back in 1986. So then I had to make things happen. I happened to have a couple very good friends who referred me some very significant cases. We didn't know how they were going to come out. And starting off on my own was very successful. I had the original case was a very interesting case down in San Pedro Marina in here in California, where the city and the county, and they had a bunch of general contractors and subcontractors, a very big construction, were building a new marina in the marina in San Pedro Marina, and one of the houseboaters who was living there, they had not evacuated anyone. They probably made a poor decision to allow people to live in the area that they were doing construction. With getting on her boat, the whole marina collapsed.
Oh, no.
And she was thrown into a whirlpool and unfortunately sustained very serious back injuries that resulted in 3 back surgeries and also a post-traumatic stress disorder. She needed psychiatric help for the anxiety. She nearly drowned for the anxiety, fear, and nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
She had to relive these experiences. So she was very fortunate just to even survive this catastrophe. And I represented her and her husband against about 6 or 7 different defendants. And fortunately, it was we were able to get her all the rehabilitation care and lifetime care for her injuries and her back injuries. And the same individual, you just never know when something is going to come, referred me a case involving an elderly gentleman, and this was my very first jury trial, an elderly man in his late 80s tripped on a defective security gate going underground at a friend's house in a parking lot and tripped and fractured his back. He had a total hip replacement. And I've represented some other people, for example, who because of the maintenance that was not up to standard, slipped on some oil or even tripped on some defective tile in a motel, similar cases to this one that I was my first case in the late 80s. And so they were all hip fractures that needed hip surgery. But my very first one that I was telling you about, the elderly gentleman in the apartment complex, I went to my first jury trial, and I had a number of experts and was against experienced counsel and gave it my very best shot. And fortunately, my friend believed in me, and I think that's most important. And the jury came back with, which was at that point the largest verdict for a senior citizen who didn't have any wage loss. It was just medical expenses and some pain and suffering. I think the jury awarded him about $255,000 at that time.
Tell me, what is it like for a young lawyer the night before he goes for his very, very first jury trial? Do you sleep or do you throw up or how does it go?
You sleep very little. You're working out throughout the night, and every time you're trying to get a wink, your eyes open up and say, oh, my God, I got to face that jury. And it's, again, it takes a moral courage for anyone. You go into a courtroom where you have a judge and, you know, you're going to meet eventually. There's a whole panel of strangers. You're going to try to select 12 of the most impartial citizens who you hope will give you a fair trial and won't be prejudiced. You know, nowadays a lot of people are come in with some prejudices against the personal injury system, even though it's a system that's really been with us since the scriptures were written and through the U.S. Constitution, that this law of compensation, that if somebody injures you through their negligence, they should compensate you, and the only way we can do it is monetarily. You know, it's not an eye for an eye. So the history of the law goes back, you know, thousands of years.
Now, do you use, sometimes I've seen on television, they have, when you're picking a jury, they have like jury experts who can kind of read the jury and tell you who to use. Do you ever do that?
They have jury consultants who are very effective. I've done my own jury selection, so you try to use your experience and your own instinct. Now I've been going for, and you're not always right. I've been practicing for nearly 30 years, and sometimes I've picked my best juries, my first few trials, and then depending on the jury makeup, and there's certain, in any state, there's more conservative areas in certain parts of the county and more liberal areas, and you just really want to get a diverse crowd of people who keep an open mind and, again, will be sympathetic and empathetic. And you mentioned that To Kill a Mockingbird article that I wrote. And Atticus Finch said when he was teaching, part of that story was he was this was unusual. He was a single father of 2 young kids, nurturing and teaching them life lessons. At the same time, he had, you know, trying to make a living as a lawyer. And one lesson he he tried teaching, instilling in his children, and they saw it as an example for him, as a lawyer was instilling in his children the necessity of a civilized society, instilling the values of tolerance and fairness, respect and dignity for others, no matter what a person's color, religion, or sex. And that's mm-hmm. still the ideal, even when we're trying to pick a jury. And the one main lesson that he says is that, quote, you never really understand a person until you consider things from their point of view, until you climb into their skin and walk around in it. And that's really what you have to do. You get over your nervousness and with the jury, and you try to get the jury to understand and climb into the skin of your client, and then you advocate, you know, as best as you can for them so they can relate and identify to the situation and sufferings of your client.
Well, you know, Jeffrey, this is wonderful having you on the show. Thank you for sharing your enthusiasm, and it's so wonderful to speak to a lawyer who is following in the footsteps of Atticus Finch. You know, I would love to have you come back on my show again because we haven't even touched on the best legal movies, and I'm a movie buff, and I would love to talk do some movie talk with you and talk about some of the great movies that we've shared with our subscribers that they can listen to that have legal themes. Would you be able to come back sometime?
Oh, it would be my pleasure. As I said, it's a joy, number one, talking to you and getting that opportunity. And the more people we can reach, I think, with recognizing the positive aspects of our jury system and our civil justice system and the positive aspects that lawyers have to offer, you know, we're really doing a public service. And I think you are also, I think you're also a wonderful interviewer, and I appreciate you having me on the show.
Great. Well, we'll look forward to having you back. And now to my listeners, tune in every day at 12 noon Eastern Daylight Time. Tomorrow my guest will be Dale Breakage. He's a success coach with SuccessMO.com, and he wrote the ABCs of Business Etiquette. And he's been a guest before on our show, and he's also always fascinating, and he will amaze, amuse, and he will astonish you with wonderful business information. My shows are live, but be sure to catch all of our interviews with constant streaming at blogtalkradio.com 24/7. If you've enjoyed this show, please click the follow tab under my picture and become a regular listener by registering with blogtalkradio.com. All your comments are welcome. If you are interested in checking out our SuccessMO program, just go to the website, www.successmo.com. Look it over, sign on without any obligations whatsoever. My sponsor email is januaryjonesinfo@gmail.com. I would love to mentor you and help you get started so you too can learn, earn, and return as you play it upward. You know, SuccessMO is an amazing opportunity to help out any nonprofits or charities that you work with. You can actually help them raise funds without asking for money. It's positively brilliant, easy to implement anytime, anywhere. So for now, dear listeners, I want you to stop whining, start smiling, and start sharing SuccessMO with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then I want you to start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest, Jeffrey Shane. This is January Jones thanking all of you for joining me on my journey today and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones sharing SuccessMO stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you think it, you can do it. That's what all of our success coaches have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own SuccessMO story with your family and friends. We hope that our stories will encourage you to explore an equation in the future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others, and that will equate to creating cash for your future. Your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you learn while you earn with us and January Jones, sharing Successimo Stories.